But because the price not moving above fast enough, it's actually contracting. There's actually a loss in velocity. And here you're starting to see some bearish divergence, which is a higher high on the price. So the price is doing higher highs, but guess what the indicator is doing? People do it on RSI, stock. You can put in your favorite indicator here. So what's happening here is you're having lower highs, and that's hidden bearish divergence. That's telling you that there's a setup here. There's underlying weakness that you cannot see just by saying the price is going up. You will never see that. And that's fine as long as the price does not lose a rising support line. So as long as the price stays above this rising, so one touch, two touch, three, four touch. This is a beautiful, beautiful rising support line. I'm going to zoom in here. So as long as the price stays above that, it's all good, guys, right? It's all good. Right. This thing, but if ever you lose that rising support line and you have bearish divergence here, it needs to get consumed. So right now, that means the price is probably going to go sideways for even longer. Until when? Until this happens. Until you get a full reset and get like something like this.
Patrick Karim, good morning to you. North Star Bad Charts, how are you?
Hi, Andy. It's always fun catching up with you. I can't wait.
The pleasure is all mine. So following you on X and LinkedIn, just for all my viewers and listeners, I've followed Patrick a lot, and he's very active on X and LinkedIn, and he's had some great calls, and he's been beating the drum about gold and silver. And also the miners, not only recently, but since really I've known him, has great technical analysis. Patrick, before we get started, give me your Twitter handle here and also put it in all the show notes. I just want to make sure you get a lot of exposure here.
It's at badcharts1.
Badcharts1. Got it.
Somebody else took Bad Charts. Could you believe that? Like 12 years ago, whenever in 2011, 12, I saw open a Twitter account. Yeah, what? This guy's Bad Charts and he does photography or something. I said, okay, fine. But it was so funny there that
you need to be faster. So let's talk about gold and silver. Let's start with gold here because that's typically the leader here. And you've posted this recently on, I want to say, I've seen it both on LinkedIn and X, but I want to say LinkedIn. That's where I saw it first. But share some charts with gold. What are you seeing happening in the gold market right now?
All right, let's do it. Because I don't like, okay, let's look at gold. We can look at the miners later because I got some heat there a little bit about the miners. I'll do gold. I know which chart you saw there. Let me just find it. It's down here. So essentially gold, I will find it. It did a continuation breakout. Goodness gracious. Oh, here it is. Okay. So I've been monitoring. This is the short-term chart, guys, for gold. It's the 8-hour chart. A while back in April, I think, we saw that gold was stretched on the monthly chart and it was like vulnerable for some type of correction. So fine. Until the correction actually starts, it's still an uptrend. But we did have a correction that started like in mid-April. It was euphoria, right? It was just like everything was just going crazy. And then after that, the price went sideways. It actually lost a rising support line, but on the 8-hour chart. So if I would zoom out there, you'll see that you can't even practically see this on the monthly chart or quarterly chart. But, you know, you got to remember that all important market tops start with shorter term bullish looking corrections that just don't materialize and they roll over. But anyways, this, what was fun is we had one reaction here, two reactions, three reactions, and that morphs into existence, a breakout line. And that gives you your edge because that's the market telling you, okay, sellers are coming in at that price. Sellers are coming in at that price. And then once you closed above that, that resistance becomes support. And then you have a higher conviction. You know, it could fail, right? But it gives you an edge, right? Because it's all about edges. Like a poker player is going to wait until he's going to rather play pocket aces instead of playing 7-2 offsuit. It's the same thing with trading. We just know when I see that, I see a pair of aces, let's say, or whatever, a pair of queens. I see, okay, if that type of breakout happens, I'm going to play it. I might not win the pot, but at least I'm not going in with a 7-2 and just praying and hoping. So here it was. It was back in August of 2019. We got a close there and I said, okay, fine, that's it, breakout. And the target was 3,800, and it's probably still is. I could actually, let's do this in real time. Here's, I'll put the 8-hour chart, reset, remove all drawings, 8-hour chart. Oh, here, my goodness. Wow, the price has went up a lot since then. Okay. So here's the breakout there, somewhere here. I think it was this candle right there. And guess what happened after that?
It ran.
It ran. And look here, the distance from moving average, I didn't put it on that chart on Twitter. This is a recurring theme, and I'm trying so hard to show people this. And maybe I'm doing it the wrong way. I know our members understand it because we go in deep details about this. When I keep saying to people, low-risk entries are not found here. Let's say I say that. People, they're so bullish something that even if I don't say something as bullish as their mindset is, they construe it as being bearish. It's like, you know, when you're super happy, you can't even let somebody say something a little bit less happy because you're raining on my parade. What, you're bearish now? Like, So it's crazy, but I have to deal with that. It's fine. So here, these are low-risk entries. When the price is coiled and tied to a moving average, that's a base, and nobody wants it. It's tight. Once the price accelerates away from a moving average, that's where you want to be. You want to be on the acceleration away from it because that's I call that the rot, returns over time. If I take my returns divided by the number of candles, it gives you a number, and that number is your return over time. That's, you want to be in high return over time zones, and those zones of highest performance and lowest amount of time, they happen after an important breakout when the price is coiled and tight and accelerating upwards. So that said, once you lose that rising momentum, so here, as long as I'm trending here above my distance for my 36 period moving average, in this case, the 8-hour charts, my 8-hour chart moving average, as long as I'm trending above it, that means I'm accelerating always faster and faster. And that's where you want to be, right? You want to be where the money's slushing in. When this fails here, after being stretched from that 8-hour moving average, that means the doesn't mean the price falls apart. And it tells you the money is not coming in as fast. The buyers are not overwhelming the sellers as fast as they used to before. That is a lower rot zone. So it's a zone where you will still make profits, right? The gains, you will have returns over time, but your returns over time will be less. And here's the proof in the pudding. And these are warning signs. I'm on the 8-hour chart. Guys, on the higher time frame, everything's in a bull market. Guys, don't stress out. This is for day traders, scalpers, maybe. So here's my rot. I did 7%, 7.4%. in 8-hour candles. As soon as I lost that rising support line on the distance from that, guess what happened to the price?
It stalled.
I did 1% in 15 bars now. So if I do 1% divided by 15, it's much less than my 7.4% divided by 24, right? So, and this is where people, they get angry. Oh, Patrick, the price still went up after you said the momentum broke. Yes, but it didn't, because it did not do a full reset, like in momentum there, and that's what I mean, like re-tag that red line. I'm getting gains, but not as fast. And that's vulnerable. You're in a vulnerable position here because if you're accelerating fast and you keep accelerating even faster, you're in the driver's seat. You're in an advantageous position. You're the one controlling the, you know, you're like Wayne Gretzky, they're controlling that, you're seeing everything, you're controlling everything. But if you're post that zone, you're maybe tired at the end of your shift. You're not seeing everything properly. You might still have an advantageous position, but not as much. You're slowing down, like you said.
Yeah. And Patrick, just to clarify, we said stalled and we did go up, but I can see it. If you look at the chart and analyze the chart, it really is, I should say, stalling, even though it went up a little bit higher. It doesn't have that same momentum, that same strength, if you would, that was previously. And if you could just comment on the second, just for all of our viewers and listeners that are following this, on the lower half of that, when it started turning over, what exactly is that? Just give clarity to that for all of those that don't know.
Here, the bottom pane?
Yes, right,
that's
there.
That's the distance from the moving average. So if I would put a price range, here's my red line. That's my 36 period moving average, that red line. Here is the distance of the price from that. So if I do a I'm going to measure here. Here's the price. The price is goodness. It's 2.56% above that red line. So if I go down here, here I'm about 2.6. So it should be, if I measure it more accurately. So it's a distance of the price from that moving average. So if it's contracting, it doesn't mean the price is going down. It means it's not going up as fast. So as because the moving average is dynamic, it keeps moving up because the price is above, but because the price is not moving up above fast enough, it's actually contracting. There's actually a loss in velocity. And here you're starting to see some bearish divergence, which is a higher high on the price. So the price is doing higher highs, but guess what the indicator is doing? People do it on RSI, stock. You can put in your favorite indicator here. So what's happening here is you're having lower highs, and that's hidden bearish divergence. That's telling right. you that there's a setup here. There's underlying weakness that you cannot see just by saying the price is going up. You will never see that. And that's fine as long as the price does not lose a rising support line. So as long as the price stays above this rising one touch, two touch, three, four touch. This is a beautiful, beautiful rising support line. I'm going to zoom in here. So as long as the price stays above that, it's all good, guys, right? It's all good. Right. But if ever you lose that rising support line and you have bearish divergence here, it needs to get consumed. So right now that means the price is probably going to go sideways for even longer. Until when? Until this happens. Until you get a full reset and get like something like this there. These are the low risk entries here. You want a full reset. You want that. This is where you enter. This is where if you had money on the sidelines and you said, okay, gold's it's stretched on the higher time frames, fine, but I really love gold. I want a shot at it. Well, at least wait for the shorter term moving average to the shorter time frame to reset and the lower risk entries, and they happen over and over, guys. You don't need to to always be in FOMO. And that right. that would be the lower risk entry for gold, even if the price is going up. So I don't know what's gonna happen here. I have that target 3,800, so it could actually it could slow down some more like this, go take more time to reach it than anticipated. Unless it starts accelerating, if it does start accelerating, we're going to see this now start going upwards here and stay mm-hmm. above that line. And then, goodness. And then after that, you have a resumption of the acceleration. But usually, until there's a full reset, you're in the low ROD zone. So the low returns over time. This, if you're a moneymaker, you want to make money, the best time to go here, it's always, always, always here, always. On the breakout, at the beginning, when everybody's still doubting the breakout, because here a lot, maybe some people doubted it because but here now nobody doubts it. Oh, this is going up, it's going up. Well, you're not in the optimal strategical equivalent situation here. You're just not anymore there.
Yeah, if I could provide some clarity to all my viewers and listeners, if you're a stacker, if you would, or if you're just buy and hold for the next several years. Really, you don't really have to pay attention to this. Well, certainly you can pay attention, but this is not, Patrick, correct me if I'm wrong, he's not making a bearish case for gold. Everything's going to fall apart. What he's talking about is entry places. And what he's also talking about, if you are looking to get a, it just really depends on your time frame. If you are looking to get a position, optimal places are good places to establish a position. Also, everybody, just keep in mind, that corrections, sideways actions, all of that are very normal. And they're also very healthy, correct me if I'm wrong, Patrick, for a market.
No, yeah, you're right. Look, I zoomed out on the monthly chart. Let's do that for your stackers. Because stackers, honestly, they should never look at the 8-hour chart. They should not look at the daily chart. They should not look at the weekly chart. Stackers should not even look at any charts. Unless they shouldn't care, because they just care that their ounces will buy them pretty much what they used to buy them, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. So but let's say you're not a stacker. Let's say you're a stacker / long-term investor. You're like a smart stacker who wants to try to, you don't want to add every week as you should, but you want to add maybe more when there's these opportunities, right? Well, here's the monthly chart. I zoomed out. I kept the annotations from the 8-hour chart just to show you. And look, we could barely see them. All that mumble jumbo I was doing on the shorter timeframes is nothing on the higher timeframe. Nothing. It's all it's us like going into details and being geeky about it and trying to find optimal. And look, you could barely see it, all that price action there. It's like, but look at this though. We could do the same analysis. Where's the low risk entry for gold? There's not many. There's not many. There was one back here in 2000. Look here. There was one back here in 2001, two. There was another one here in June of 2019, right there, when the momentum, right? Remember that distance from moving average? Here, guys, is the distance from the 36-month moving average, right? So so here, you had another, so you had one here. So since 2000, since the 2000s, there was one low-risk entry here, two low-risk entries here, and a third one right here. And guess what? If you didn't take any of those three, you missed it. You missed it. You missed it. People have to anchor that in their head. You let your perfect girl, you let her because you were too shy, then go see her at the bar. It's your fault. You missed it, man. You have to accept it. You can't go and then, I'll invent myself a new AI girlfriend and I'll create her and I'll have her. No, that you know, when they say you have one opportunity, one shot there, they're there. There's not many. Think about it. Three in the last 25 years. My goodness, equivalent entries. I'm not saying you could time, there's a whole bunch of corrections here, but all these secondary entries, they're not equivalent in nature, right? They're just not. These are multi-decade bear markets that are ending, creating this unique opportunity where you're not stretched at all from the moving average. And then the price goes up, stretches from the moving average, hit reset, giving you another opportunity, not as good because you didn't reset as much. And then after that, it does it a few times. Here's a reset, but not as much. And then after that, you get your super stretch all the time. And then when it fails, it's for the count. So these low risk entries, they don't happen often. Here you had a move up, then you had a full reset right there. Then you had you had another opportunity. And look where we are. We're super stretched. We're still stretched. You cannot objectively, guys, I know the bulls, it's different this time, the fundamentals. Guys, you cannot objectively say that that this is a low risk opportunity, even if the price does go up, like we showed in the first chart. I'm telling you, the highest return in shortest amount of times, we're in that process right now, and it's maturing there. And let me remove the back one. We have done, and you'll see this, you're gonna go crazy there. So here, I don't know where you started. We have done, okay, let me remove, I'll keep it here. We have done about 84%, 82% in 19 bars. Here, the previous low risk entry we did in 16 bars, we did 50% in, let me move it, in 14 bars. Here, we did, here was a low risk entry that went up to here. Here, we did 35% in maybe 22 bars. Here, we did 44% in 10 bars. Here, we did 45% in 8 bars. Here we did, that was the last one, 83%, 23 bars. We're in the high water marks on many metrics. We're doing here a move as powerful as the final melt-up move we did in the previous bull run. Wow. I don't know how greedy people want to get. I don't get it. People want to get greedy. You're 82% now in 19 months. I'm not saying, guys, and when I say this stuff, don't construe it as me saying I'm bearish. I'll show you. Maybe that's a good question you should ask me, Patrick. Well, tell me when you will be bearish. I could show you this after. What I'm telling you is now we're in the froth. It doesn't mean the price can't go up. I'll show you what I'm going to wait for to say I'm bearish. We've done 82% in 19 months. This is record performance for gold. Record per, like, you're holding for the shortest amount of time, generating the most gains. This is, it's exceptional there. We rarely see this stuff. It's like, this is objective evidence. I know people want to tell me this is different, but this is, it's beautiful. That's what's happened. Now we're stretched. I'll tell you when I'm going to start getting worried here.
Yeah, please.
Because this is what, because people, they get scared. They say, oh, Patrick, you're telling me we're stretched. Well, this is what I'm telling you. We're stretched. I'm telling you there's no low risk entries, but I haven't told you that I'm bearish yet, or I haven't told you that the correction has started yet. So those are important nuances, and hopefully this gets a maximum amount of viewers. Here, 1, 2, 3, 4. the same exercise we did on the 8-hour chart, as long as that rising support line holds on the distance from that 3-year moving average, as long as it stays above that line, that means the price is accelerating more and more away from that long-term moving average. And that's still in the optimal configuration, right? The lower risk entry was here. Now we've read it. As long as it stays above this, we're good, Andy. I will never, never, never turn bearish on the monthly chart until that fails, because this will fail. The momentum will fail practically always before the price fails.
Got it.
So here, and as long as this rising support line doesn't fail, I will never be bearish. And even if it fails, I will not be bearish instantly. What I will be is I will be agnostic. So let's say we lose that rising support line. I will become agnostic here, because now I know we're entering a pronounced correction. It might resolve upwards. It might be the top, right? Because I could go here in the late 2000s, 2010. We lost it here. It kind of looked bullish here a little bit. It could have, I think it actually did break out here. It broke out here, but look what the momentum was.
No momentum. Yeah.
It wasn't breaking out. It hadn't fully reset yet. You see that?
Yep.
You know, it just nothing was happening there. So that thing failed. But you're not bearish here. You're not bearish. You're agnostic. You're out of the trade. I'm breathing. I'm going to go play golf with my friends. I don't have to worry if gold, I don't have to hope. It's a 50-50 chance now that the price goes up or down. Why would I stick around? Take your money, put in cash, buy whatever. Go have fun with your wife. Take care of your kids. Don't stress about it. Don't read stuff on media. Just wait. You put an alert, you put an alert on the momentum. Here I could put an alert, you see, on my trend line. I could put an alert here. If ever that trend line gets busted above, I'm going to get a warning. I get an email from TradingView. I could put an alert to here, or you could put alerts and then you leave. But it's like insurance. Stepping out, it's like insurance, because in case it goes in a bear market, right?
Yeah.
I don't get bearish here because I'm agnostic. I get bearish when it starts losing horizontal support. Once I start closing below my 36-month moving average, once I get below the cloud, that's when I get bearish. It's like I'll flip the chart for you guys. You do this. I flip the gold chart just for to play with your, to remove bias. Often when you flip a chart there, you say, oh, what's happening? This is bearish, right? It looks super bearish because it's super bullish, actually. For me to get bullish on the inverse chart of gold, it would have to do something like this there for me to start getting, I'll show you this. For me to get bullish this chart, that means bearish gold, maybe a base here. Like I would need to let, and it's good, guys, to do the drawings because it helps you visualize what's mathematically possible, right? I would get bearish. I'll put it back there. I think the point's made on this. I would get bearish gold down here or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I tell you there's no low risk opportunities, that's just step one. Then after that, if I lose my rising support line, I enter a correction, I'm not bearish yet. I'm just telling you, I'm not bullish anymore. I'm agnostic. I only get bearish when this happens. It's like, we're so far away from being bearish. We're so far, guys, please. I'm not bearish gold. I'm not. I've been bullish. You know this. Guys, go down my Twitter there. I've been showcasing this breakout in 2019. I showcased this one here, breaking out here. Like, it's just to put in context their euphoria. Maybe that's not a good word. Maybe there will be more euphoria. But when people get upset, when you show them, when you tell them there's no low-risk entries, it's because it's so distorted, the sentiment in one direction, that they can't even tolerate. It's like talking to a Bitcoiner that the price could go down, or it could, even if I say, oh, there's a, look, I could show you this roadmap and tell you, yes, the gold price can go down. But before I confirm it, my goodness, we're so far away from that. It's like, this could take, you know, before that happens there, it's like, how many years, man?
On all of that, Patrick, I think you've made those calls really with talking to me on the show. So for all of that, Patrick says, hey, I think we're getting ready to run, and it ran. That all being said, I appreciate your candor and your honesty, you know. And again, it's trying to be very objective here and eliminate emotion. So
yeah, it's all about, and that's the hardest part. I'm an emotional person, and it's the number one killer for any sport, anything. Any professional will tell you emotions will kill you. They will erode your emotional capital. You will see confirmation bias. As soon as you have a position in anything, guys, you will not see it objectively. Oh, I bought a Lexus. all the other cars are bad. My likes, you know, like I'm always seeking positive reinforcement of to justify why I took a decision. It's like a self-protection mechanism. We all do it.
Yeah.
But with traders, you got to get rid of it, because how many stories I've read, people on Twitter getting upset at me, telling them there's no lower risk entry, there's a possible correction. But guys, I'm getting emails from people telling me that I'm happy you did that, because in the previous bull run, I ran it and nobody told me to sell. Nobody. Right. And they gave it all back.
Yeah.
How devastating is that? I think it's even worse to go up and then give it back than to never making money at all. It's like having the dream life and getting ripped apart. That is must be horrible for emotional capital. Never again, yeah. Guys. Repeat yourself. Never do that again. You don't have to be scared to exit your position. Like, take a step back. Go on the hard time frames. If you're an investor, zoom out. Mm-hmm. Look, my lines in the sand are there. They're very clean. But you cannot say, unless you're a stacker, you cannot say, I will buy and hold this forever. Or you're putting expectations in your head. Oh, I need a 10 bagger. My friend did a 10 bagger. And you're not selling until, well, what if the move halts after a 5 bagger and starts falling apart? You're going to hold on because you have expectations. The market doesn't yeah. care about your expectations. You gotta handle what the market throws in front of you. And for gold, it's thrown these very rare opportunities. And mathematically, statistically, I cannot recommend to anybody to say there's a low risk entry for gold on this time frame. It's objective. There's just not there. I could show you the golden the miners chart.
Yeah, please. Let's talk about the miners, and after that we'll talk about silver.
I did this chart there because it was just chaos on Twitter there this week there. And I told people there's like a 70% correction coming for the miners. Well, 70. What, Patrick, you're nuts there. You're what are you talking about? 70. Well, in the 1970s, you had a 70%, even here at the start of it, you had a huge drop. You had, in a bull market, you had a 70% drop here. And still in the bull market, you had another 70% drop, right? The bull market only ended once, like, you lost that long-term rising support line. Twice it did in the 70s. In a crazy bull market for gold, silver, the miners, they still got destroyed 70%. Even in the 2000s, it happened here, a 30% correction. Here, a GFC, over 60% correction. In a bull market, twice, they got destroyed. Mm-hmm. Here, even here, you can make a case, Andy, that the bull market for the miners actually started back bottoming the bottom 2015. Look at mm-hmm. that. We're already 1, 2, 3, 4. That long-term rising trend line has already had 4 touches already. Mm-hmm. And here dropped over 50% here. And even in recent history, it's the renowned, the index of the miners, right? They're renowned to drop these vertiginous, I'm French, guys. Like when you're up high there and you fall there, vertigo, like from these super heights, it's known. So just like gold, I'm not going to repeat the whole analysis, but it's like gold here is at the distance from the 36-month moving average. As long as it stays above that rising line here, and as long here as it stays above that 12-month moving average, it's fine, guys. They're still in a bull market. We're still in an uptrend. If you want to hear me talk like a baby to you guys to reconfirm your biases, the correction has not started yet. I don't know, like, I'm running out of ways to explain this. All that, guys, I have not said the opposite of this ever. What I'm telling you, though, and nobody's going to tell you, a few people I saw on Twitter, they say, Patrick, you're right. They're looking at what I'm looking at. Look how stretched we are from the moving average, for crying out loud. Look at yeah. that. How many times have we been this stretch from the long-term moving average? The miners have been on a tear. From the bottom to here, it's 500%. From here, the bottom in 2015 all the way to today is 500%. The bottom here, 2002, all the way up here, I think it's about the same amount, maybe more. This is a huge amount of mm-hmm. gains over this long period of time. So to think that, I don't know, it's different this time, that we're never going to retest that breakout line is just, there's no low risk entry for miners. There's just not. You cannot, mm-hmm. you cannot force me to say that on this time frame. I will never say that until, look, I identified it for you guys, the full resets. Look, this is a full reset. The breakout here above both moving averages, above a base, here's the low risk entry here. That's where it was in 2002. Here's where it was in 2024. That's it. It's gone. It's in the rearview mirror. It is gone. It is mm-hmm. gone. Here's another one. There was another low risk entry here. So it doesn't mean every time you break above a long-term moving average, that's the one that's going to go to heaven. But that's where they start. They don't start from up here. You don't start a crazy bull run from up here. You just don't. It's like, show me proof that you start a bull market from up here. And don't tell me it's different this time. Because like, I wish it would be like in my heart, like, you know, as emotional guy, but the guy who always goes in with a 7-2 offsuit, I'll be different this time. I'll win. He'll get wrecked in the long term. He might win one, might get lucky. He will get wrecked in the long term.
Yeah.
Protect your NAV. You got to minimize your losses, and you got to ride what the cards are in front of you, and you got to know when to bail. So it's not time to bail yet. It's not time to play. If you bought down here, you ride this, guys. You ride it. If it doubles the price in the miners from here, beautiful. I will be so happy. We have mining positions open on our website for our members. Let those suckers ride. Let them ride. But adding positions right here is just not judicious. Judicious.
Yeah. Now you got me all tongue-tied.
Just not judicious. It's just not there, guys. It's just not there. Yeah. It's so again.
Patrick, are you looking at years? I mean, as well in terms of being bearish. I mean, what's your?
He's not bearish, Steve.
And I know you're not bearish, but like you're there's no risk. There's no risk entry. But at what point do you anticipate? Is it the same timeline as gold?
Yes. They will both, gold and the miners. Once gold starts correcting, the miners will start correcting also. They're tied at the hips there to when gold tops. Let's say in the GFC there. I'll show it for you guys. So when gold tops, remove drawings. Let me reset chart view here. And I'll put the log scale. So what I did is I overlaid the miners with gold. So when gold, look here in the GFC there, gold topped, the miners topped. So here the miners even topped before gold in the end of the bull era. But from a macro bird's eye view, their trends track very well there. You see the trends of them, they track very well. So they will both start correcting probably in very close interval. The miners might start correcting beforehand, but if it's a GFC type of liquidity event, let's say the Fed there, I don't know when they cut and the markets for some reason adversely react and it starts falling apart, then it will condense a timeline and they will start falling and like they will start correcting in symbiosis, like right away, right? But if it's like a slow ending bull market, the money might like here you see how they peaked. Maybe a year before gold actually rolled over, it might be like money leaving the miners by that stage. Maybe oil prices too high. I don't know, like whatever's, and then they roll over. But yeah, they're both in uptrends. We could go to silver
if we can. And also, Patrick, I want to make a comment on our talks on my show. Just so everybody knows, to all my viewers and listeners, Patrick called some great breakouts to the upside, and it was really through just an objective analysis going through the chart. So, and I remember that I got comments on Patrick says, "Hey, silver's ready for a breakout." And literally, as you were talking, silver was breaking out. People commented about that. And it was just really just going through the data. Second thing is I'm not speaking for Patrick here, but I've done very well in my portfolio. That is not a brag, but I'm very nervous, if you would. Nervous in the sense, because I've done so well. I just know that this can't continue. And I started buying really in the last couple of years. So that being said, I am looking, and again, I'm not speaking for Patrick, and this is not investment advice. Do your own due diligence. But I am looking and even wanting a correction.
Yeah.
I just am. It's so I can get back in. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And you don't want the correction to happen. You don't want to blow off top. I know unless you want to exit. If somebody wants to exit, he wants to blow off top and bail. But it's very hard to exit in a blow off top. Was that really the blow off top? Or was that was just like a preamble blow off top? Like tops and bottoms, guys, you can't enter. It's very hard to enter or even exit. It's with hindsight sometimes. I exited at a top, but you only truly know it's a top once you get the evidence that it does roll over. Because there's a whole bunch of possible tops along the way, right? Oh, that could be a top, and it kept going up. Just like bottoms, people Oh, this is a low. It'll never go lower, gold or silver, than this low here. Oh, guess what? It did lower. Oh, it did lower. Mm-hmm. So over the performance of people like buying or selling tops, possible tops or possible bottoms, it's not very good, because there's more often than not, it's not tops. Because you see the tops, the true tops and bottoms, statistically, they're very far apart, right? So if you try to call those, statistically, you have much lesser chances of calling the true top every single time. So instead of doing that, you just try to exit when you get evidence that, yes, there's possibly a top there. And guess what? If there's not a top, let's say you do exit. That's where also I like to reinforce this. Let's say you do exit. You lost a rising support line on the silver price. Okay, let's say here, back here, like in 2020. Let's do an example with hindsight. Let's say here, 2020, silver was going bonkers, right? Silver squeeze, and it was crazy bullish here. But oh, look, it lost rising momentum back here. The price was going down. And then after a little sideways chop, guess what? The momentum did not break out again, and the price actually faltered. Mm-hmm. Fine, guys. It's because the silver will not hold a grudge. It's not like a girlfriend that gets upset at you there. If you exit silver and you dump it, you could get back in. Guys, you can get back in. You could play the next hand at poker.
She'll take you back.
She'll take you back. She'll take you back. Be happy about it. Like, or she won't even care. It's like the best, like, you know, almost like a hooker there. It's like, don't, she doesn't care. She doesn't care. So you exit, you avoid all this pain here, this possible pain. I didn't know this pain was going to happen. It could have been short here. It could have just resolved. Because people who hold on here, who held on here, this is what they were imagining, this pull flag here. Pull flag. But it never happened here. So once you realize you're in a correction, guys, just step aside. Because if ever it takes 2 years to figure out, then you're no harm done. You could play something else. You could do something else. You could play Bitcoin, whatever you want there. You could oil plays probably were doing well, uranium. Like, you have capital. You know, your money's not all tied up there. You could actually do other stuff. And your emotional capital will not get eroded if you're out. That's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Here, the emotional capital destroys you, and it makes you take crazy decisions, because once it goes down here, I'm bailing. I've suffered too much. And usually when that happens, the price, it just reverts there. Just to, like, life just wants to destroy you. So here, look where we are today here. So as long as that rising support line, guys, holds, silver's fine, guys. Silver's in uptrend. It did an aggressive pull flag, expanding, ascending, expanding wedge, breakout to the upside. That thing's like, it wants to head to all-time highs there. Like, you know, it's heading there. There's no problem. As long as the distance from moving average, guys, is above this rising support line, I'm not bearish. But the lowest entries for silver, they were down here. And here you had another shot. Mm-hmm. And now the true low risk entry was down here. Now this is, you get a second shot at glory here, but it's not an equivalent low risk entry, right? The low risk entry was here. This is, you know, you're moving up the ladder there. You're already, your gas tank is half full now. But there's still some room for silver to run 100%. It hasn't lost rising momentum. The price has not lost anything. It's fine, silver, right?
Right.
So that's the story for silver. It's up and away. But again, there's no low risk entry at this point. You want a correction, like you said there. You want something to happen here, like this.
Yeah.
That. You want to be able to create another pull flag. Like, look here in the 2000s there. Look at these. And silver has huge corrections there. These are
34%. When it corrects, it really corrects.
Yeah. Here. If you didn't have GFC, that thing would have kept going up. Then you have GFC. And then after that, so you have one. Here's the initial entry. Okay, one entry, two, three, four. That's all you get there. Four or five in a bull run, maybe more. Like, it depends. The longer the break, the more it resets the momentum, the more it helps you go. But now you had one. Okay, pretty big break. So one, two, three. We're on our third one now. Our third, and you could see here the price keeps going up and up. So you're getting in that higher stratosphere of froth. But the low-risk entries are 100% not there, right? They're down here, right? I hope this makes sense there to the viewers.
It does. It makes a lot of sense. What's really helpful is the momentum chart, and then just above it, just the price chart. So
it's simple. I don't like, I used to have fun putting billion indicators when you're starting TA, you put everything, but the best TA guys, they don't need any indicators because it, for them, it's implicit, right? It's like a professional baseball player says, or Barry Bonds say, oh, but look, the pitcher's going to throw a curveball. I hit a home run. And the other guy says, what? Are you just like telling me nothing? Can't you see it? The other guy says, no, but because Barry Bonds or whoever, he's seen so many pitches. He's seen so many, he understands everything, right? So a chart trader who's been doing this for 10, 20, 20 years, he doesn't need the indicators to tell him that the price is going up, right? Because he knows that the price is going up. And if it's not consolidating too much and it just keeps going up without consolidations, he'll know instinctively that the distance from the moving average will be stretched. He'll know because he's seen it so many times. Like I could remove the price, remove everything. You just let the moving average there. And I could probably draw you a very accurate price chart with you hiding it. And it'll be pretty close because I could see the moving averages acceleration and deceleration. And I, you know, but that's just because I look at thousands and thousands and thousands of charts there. It's just, it's just practice. Anybody could do it. You just need to practice there.
Yeah. Patrick, I think we'll end on that. But what I want to say is you've had some great calls, and I say that not to embarrass you, but that's just the reality, just talking with me. And also I want to say, just to thank you for your graciousness, and your time. And also just, you calling it like it is and how you see it. And just for the record, I see a lot of frothiness as well. Again, not investment advice. And I get nervous when I see a lot of optimism, just my contrarian nature. And I see a lot of optimism right now. So,
yeah. So let's, I don't have nothing to add on that. Thank you, Andy.
Patrick, how do people find you? And I'll put it all in the show notes.
Bad Charts One, guys, on Twitter, all the free stuff. But if you really want the nuanced stuff, it's always going to be on our website, northstarbadcharts.com. Use a discount code, summer25, if you want 50% off. It's just the nature of the beast on Twitter. I can't go in all the details like with everybody, but the members do get that added advantage.
Thank you so much, Patrick. I'll put all of this in the show notes. Take care.
Bye, Andy. Bye, Steve. Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you, Patrick.